This is Bob Decker, volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona, with this week's Listener Beware. I'll be reading articles today about extended warranties and also how to stop robocalls that might come from sellers of these contracts or other sources. Our articles come from AARP and the Federal Trade Commission. Our first article comes from AARP and was written by Lisa Freeman. The article was published on April 11, 2023. A Brief Guide to Extended Warranties. The benefit they promise may not be worth the price. I always feel a tinge of uneasiness when turning down an offer to buy an extended warranty. We've all experienced the agony of a product failure and the defeat of an expensive repair bill. And extended warranties seem to offer peace of mind. Nowadays, they're hawked all over the internet, not just at places like electronics stores and auto dealerships. Amazon, Best Buy, Target, Walmart, and other websites sell them as purchase add-ons, even for cheap stuff like $20 hair trimmers. The cost for these policies can range from a few bucks to thousands. But does it really pay to buy an extended warranty? I had many questions, so I talked to experts and looked for answers. After doing that research, I came to a decision about buying extended warranties, but you'll have to read on to find out. What is an extended warranty? A warranty is simply a promise that the company will stand behind its product, according to the Federal Trade Commission. So, if, for example, your vacuum cleaner breaks within the warranty period, the company is committed to repairing or replacing it. Most products come with free manufacturer warranty that covers a modest length of time, often a year or two. An extended warranty, also known as a protection plan or service contract, provides similar guarantees for even more years. These policies cost extra, may have different fine print than the manufacturer's warranty, and often are sold by a third party rather than the product's manufacturer. Why are they being offered so frequently? Simple. They're a huge moneymaker. According to the nonprofit Consumer's Checkbook, stores typically pocket 50 to 70% of the cost of warranties, a profit margin that's far better than most of the products they offer. Why are they so profitable? The University of Pennsylvania Wharton School of Business study found that consumers overestimate the likelihood of products breaking when covered by an extended warranty. In other words, if people knew the odds that they'd ever need to use the insurance policies, they'd never buy them. Are there alternatives to a purchased extended warranty? Yes, very often, if you use plastic. Most major credit card issuers provide extended warranty coverage on purchases made with at least some of their cards. Check your card agreement for details, especially exclusions. Many Chase cards, for example, will extend by 1 year the terms of a manufacturer's warranty on what you've bought, but only on warranties of 3 years or less, and not for cars, medical equipment, or certain other product categories. A recent WalletHub study found that Discover and Wells Fargo were the only two major credit card companies that don't offer them on any of their cards. Another way to get free extended warranty coverage is to shop at Costco, which provides extra protection on TVs, computers, appliances, and some other products. Finally, most retailers have at least a 30-day return period, independent of any warranty. How do I assess whether to buy one? First, do not rely solely on a salesperson's description. Ask for a copy of the policy and make clear that you'll need to read it before arriving at a decision. Then study it carefully, along with the manufacturer's warranty and your credit card's protection plan. Look for duplicate coverage, exclusions, deductibles, and claim requirements such as having to ship the product to a repair shop. If you can't be bothered or the fine print is too confusing, a 2018 survey showed that more than half of the consumers didn't understand the terms of automotive warranties, think twice. USA Today tech columnist Kim Commando says that standard manufacturer warranty on most products is probably all you'll need, since most defects pop up pretty quickly. It also doesn't pay, she says, to buy policies for inexpensive items that can be replaced easily, like that $30 trimmer. Commando has an interesting strategy to consider. Rather than spending money on a warranty, apply those dollars to a more reliable brand, perhaps, or buy protective cases for your goods and treat them right. Make sure that TV has plenty of airflow and your router isn't sitting on a pile of dust bunnies, Commando says. Or regularly set aside funds in a bank account to have cash for repairs, says George Carnell, co-host of the Ramsey Show podcast. The only time Commando recommends an extended warranty on electronics is if you're super unlucky with smartphones. Just make sure you're signing up for the right coverage, since smartphone plans can have deductibles up to $200. Should I get an extended warranty for my new car? It might make sense if you're buying a model that's unreliable or expensive to repair. But why do that? You're better off checking reliability ratings and skipping vehicles that are prone to big repair bills, according to Consumer Reports. Also, take good care of your vehicle by following the maintenance schedule in your manual. If you decide to buy an extended warranty for your car, Consumer Reports and other consumer experts recommend sticking with policies sold by a reliable vendor, such as the automaker or dealer. But watch out for sneaky car salespeople who add them onto your bill without your permission, warns the FTC, and never let anyone pressure you into buying one before you've had time to review it. Any last red flags? If the warranty is being marketed by an aggressive telemarketer or via texts or emails, steer clear. The FTC, which warns that many of those calls are not even legal, says you'll leave yourself open to higher-pressure sales tactics. The marketer might try to get your personal and financial information, and maybe even a first payment, before they tell you about the contract. Many of these warranty officers are just flat-out scams, reports the Michigan Attorney General's office. After weighing all the evidence, I decided to forego all extended warranties in the future. I can live with a little risk, but you should decide for yourself. Lisa Lee Freeman, a consumer and shopping expert, was founder and editor and chief of ShopSmart magazine from Consumer Reports. Our second article, from the Federal Trade Commission, provides more details on how to scrutinize extended warranty coverage. It also discusses calls or mail that you may receive about an extended warranty after purchasing a product. Extended warranties and service contracts. Some sellers offer an extended warranty or service contract when you buy a product. An extended warranty or service contract is different from the warranties that may automatically come with the product. It costs extra and might cover different issues than a manufacturer's warranty. Here's how to know whether an extended warranty or service contract will give you extra benefits for the extra cost. Learn about the extended warranty or service contract coverage. An extended warranty or service contract might not be worth the cost if the product isn't likely to need repairs. Check product review websites to see if other people say the product often needs expensive repairs. Read the details of the extended warranty or service contract. It's not a good value if it doesn't offer more coverage than the warranty that came with the product. Before you buy an extended warranty, get information about costs. Look at the initial cost of the extended warranty or service contract and costs that might be hidden, like deductibles or fees you must pay each time the product is serviced. Do you have to pay to ship the product to a repair center? Is there a fee to transfer the extended warranty or service contract to someone else? Does the extended warranty or service contract set limits on reimbursement amounts? For example, auto service contracts may not fully cover expenses for towing or renting a car. Reputation. The value of an extended warranty or service contract is only as good as the company that's responsible for coverage. Find out who is offering the extended warranty. It's not necessarily the manufacturer, and it might be a company you don't know. Find out how long the company has been in business. Then search online for the company name plus words like review or complaint and see if there are negative reviews of the company. Check with your state consumer protection office to see if they have any complaints against the company. Length of coverage. Use the length and cost of the contract to calculate its yearly or monthly cost. Coverage. An extended warranty or service contract won't cover all situations and repairs. Find out what limitations apply. Does it cover accidental damage? Can the company deny coverage if, for example, you don't follow their instructions for routine maintenance? Does it cover only specific parts of the product or specific repairs? If it isn't listed in the contract, assume that it's not covered. Claims process. Going through a difficult claims process or waiting for reimbursement can reduce the value of having coverage. Find out how to make a claim, who takes care of repairs, and if you'll need to return the item to the store where you bought it. A different way to pay for repairs. Extended warranties and service contracts aren't the only way to plan for future repairs or accidents. After you evaluate the extended warranty or service contract coverage, you might find that putting money aside in a savings account is a better option. Then, if you need to pay for repairs, you can use the money in the account. Unwanted calls and mail about extended warranties and service contracts. After you buy a product, you might get calls and mail from the marketers who want to sell you extended warranty or service contracts. These offers can come in years after your purchase, and the marketers are usually not related to the company you did business with. The telemarketing calls, both the live calls and robocalls, are probably illegal if you have no connection with the company that's calling. Marketers use high-pressure sales tactics, saying things like, "Act now, your warranty is about to expire." They might try to get your personal and financial information, and maybe even a first payment before they tell you about the contract. It might be risky to buy an extended warranty or service contract from a telemarketer because the company that's responsible for the contract might not be in business when you need the services. Report problems. If you have a problem with an extended warranty or service contract, report it to the FTC at reportfraud.ftc.gov or to your state attorney general. Our third article focuses on how to stop illegal robocalls of any sort. This article comes from AARP and was written by Deidre Van Dyke. It was originally published on February 5, 2019 and was updated in March of 2025. How you can stop illegal robocalls, what they are, how to recognize them, and how to protect yourself from scam calls. Whether we're sitting down to dinner or running an errand, our phones are with us, often bearing calls from criminals. Those crooks are behind an endless stream of illegal robocalls dangling goodies such as free cruises or lottery jackpots, demanding payment for non-existing debts, or perpetrating some other scam to steal your money or get your sensitive personal data. In 2024, nearly 53 billion robocalls were made to U.S. consumers, about 200 calls per adult, according to UMail, which provides call blocking and management services. Within that data, there are some positive trends, according to the company. Scam calls have dropped year over year by 22%, with 6.3 billion recorded in 2024. Enforcement took out some of the big-time callers, said Alex Quilisi, CEO of UMail. Some of it is due to scammers getting highly targeted. Even so, he adds, over the past 10 years, we've gone from somewhere where you could trust a caller ID and trust a caller to you can't trust anything. What are robocalls? Generally, robocalls are pre-recorded voices, and they may be made through an automatic dialing technology. They tend to use V over IP, or voice over internet protocol, which help them to become so pervasive. Internet-based calling is fantastic in some ways, It's enabled us to call our friends and family internationally for cheap and easy. But it's also made it cheap and easy for the bad guys to call us, said Josh Berku, executive director of U.S. Telecom's Industry Traceback Group, which works with providers to combat spam calls. Not all robocalls are scams. Your doctor may use robocalling to remind you of an appointment, or an airline may share news about a flight change. The Federal Communications Commission, or FCC, allows such robocalls as long as they're for informational or non-commercial purposes. Pollsters, political campaigns, and nonprofit groups, including AARP, can also call you. If you gave permission for a company to contact you, it can legally make a robocall. You may not even realize you granted permission because the agreement was buried in fine print. Scammers can use caller ID spoofing to make it appear that they're calling from a legitimate or local number. Although they used to take a scattershot approach to robocalls, criminals shifted to more targeted attacks on victims, using information from data breaches and other sources. Unfortunately, all this stuff is on data broker websites now, and it's not hard to pull it, Berku says. Common robocall scams. Criminals use robocalls to execute a wide range of scams. These are a few of the most common. Government imposters. Criminals pretend to be from Social Security to steal your personal information. Fake Internal Revenue Service agents may threaten you with arrest for unpaid taxes. Officials offer government grants. Or you could get a call saying you missed jury duty and must pay a fine. Phony utility problem. Scammers threaten to shut off your electricity within 10 minutes unless you pay a fine immediately. Package delivery issue. A message may say that packages have gone astray or that expensive charges were made on your account. Romance scams. Callers try to engage in conversation and build a relationship, leading to requests for money or investments in cryptocurrency. Virus scams. Scammers pretend to be from a tech support company, warning that you're not protected. Bank problems. Criminals pretend to be from your bank and tell you there's a problem with your account or there's been a data breach. Hang up and call from a number you independently verify. The banks are very happy to have you do that, Kulichi says. Listen to more of his advice on The Perfect Scam. Public programs. Issues such as student loans are ripe for robocall scams, as it's not clear whether loans are forgiven or not. Criminals love confusion, says Clayton LeBreton, a senior strategic advisor at Truecaller, a global caller ID spam blocking and fraud prevention app. What can be done to stop robocalls? Truecaller estimates that Americans lose $25 billion annually to scams originating with spam calls. The FCC, Federal Trade Commission, FTC, and the telecom industry work to prevent criminals from dialing up citizens, but it's really a game of whack-a-mole, LeBreton says. Stir-Shaken Authentication and Operation Stop Scam Calls, led by the FTC in partnership with more than 100 federal, state, and law enforcement agencies, targeted operations responsible for billions in calls and shut them down. Berku points out that auto warranty scams, which he calls one of the most pervasive robocall campaigns in this country, have virtually gone away. That is a signal that the tools and the framework we have can be effective. AI is the next big threat. AI creates synthetic voices that may do the initial talking. Using information from data breaches and what you've shared on social media, criminals can create a conversational bot tailored to you. I know what your alma mater was. I know where you live. I know who you hang out with. I know what you spend money on. It's not very difficult for a social engineer to write a script, LeBreton says. Although the FCC outlawed robocalls made with AI, scammers persist with calls impersonating Medicare, Social Security, the IRS, and other government agencies. Using audio from voicemail messages or clips on social media, AI can mimic your loved ones' voices, making so-called grandparent schemes, or callers impersonating grandchildren in distress, more effective. It doesn't have to be a perfect voice clone. It just has to be good enough, says Koichi, who created a password his family can use to verify if help is really needed. How to protect yourself from mobile call scams. Be vigilant. Be patient. Be protected. And be suspicious. And that'll go a long way, Koichi says. Don't answer calls from unknown numbers. If I'm not expecting a call and it's not a contact, I'm just going to ignore it, let it go to voicemail, and then deal with it afterwards, Koichi says. It's a good idea to put your doctor and other regular callers on your phone's contacts, so you'll recognize them when they call. If you do answer, avoid engaging. It's best not to speak or press any keys in response to a pre-recorded message. Taking action signals to scammers that it's a live number, and they'll target you with more spam calls. If you started to engage, stop and say you'll call them back. Criminals want to keep you on the phone. That's when they wear down your resolve, Leah Breton says. And if they spoof the number, they're not too keen on being called back. Verify the number. Look up an institution's number on its official website, bills, or other documentation you have and call that number, rather than any number you're given during a call. Take a deep breath. Scammers try to make you panic. Take the time to research their claims on the web and call friends and family before taking action. Use the National Do Not Call Registry, www.donotcall.gov, operated by the FTC. It won't stop fraudulent calls, but it will make them easier to spot. Legitimate telemarketers won't call numbers on that list. Explore call blocking services. Your phone service provider may offer free tools, and you can look into third-party call blocking services, including Truecaller and Umail. Those companies, as well as Google, are rolling out AI voice detection in real time. Get a burner number. To avoid giving out your real number, you can create a secondary number that will forward to your phone. How to report robocalls. Keep in mind that each report helps authorities piece together a fuller picture of what scammers are doing, so they can take action against the callers. File a report with the FBI's Internet Crime Compliance Center, or IC3. That's www.ic3.gov. The FTC takes reports online at reportfraud.ftc.gov or at 877-382-4357. You can forward scam text to the FTC at 7726, or spam. You can also report calls to your carrier. For support and guidance, the trained fraud specialists at the free AARP Fraud Watch Network helpline at 877-908-3360 can share information on what to do next and how to avoid future scams. The AARP Fraud Watch Network also offers online group support sessions. Here are some more resources. The FCC has tips on combating robocalls. You can find that at www.fcc.gov/consumers/guides/stop-unwanted-robocalls-and-text, each word hyphenated. The FTC explains robocalls and gives advice on avoiding scams and blocking calls. You can find them at consumer.ftc.gov/articles/how-to-block-unwanted-calls. Again, all hyphenated. U.S. Telecom, a trade association for the industries, has information on robocalls. You can find that at www.ustelecom.org/robocallsactioncenter. Once again, all hyphenated. And an editor's note, this article, originally published in 2019, has been rewritten, and advice from experts has been added. Deirdre Van Dyke is an AARP associate editor covering Social Security, caregiving, technology, and fraud. She previously worked at USA Today and Time, where she covered business, government, sustainability, and innovation. Our last article mentioned the Do Not Call Registry. If you're wondering if you've already put your phone number on the Do Not Call Registry, here's how to find out. These instructions are found at the FTC website. Go to the Do Not Call website, https://www.donotcall.gov/verify. Enter your phone number. Up to 3 phone numbers can be entered at this site, and your email address. Click Submit. If your telephone number is listed in the Do Not Call Registry, you'll receive an email in a few minutes with that verification. Check your spam filter or junk email folder, as the message may appear there. If your number isn't on the registry, you can add it. Go to donotcall.gov or call 1-888-382-1222, TTY 1-866-290-4236, from the phone you want to register. It's free. This has been Bob Decker, volunteer reader at Sun Sounds of Arizona. Thanks for listening. A reminder that if you miss a program, you can get it on demand. You can also take Sun Sounds with you on our stream, on demand, or on the Sun Sounds app on your smartphone or home device.